Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer here at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. Suffice to say that the arts are not a big topic in this year's mayoral debate platform. You won't hear about them in the stump speeches, and there aren't any mudslinging TV ads about arts budgets and music education. But with culture such a vital sector of the city's economy and neighborhood life, Michael Bloomberg and Fernando Ferrer have not been entirely silent on the issue either. Joining us to look at how the two candidates stack up artistically is WNYC's City Hall reporter Bob Henley. Bob, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So given how many people in New York City work in the arts industry or are closely, if tangentially, allied to it, why aren't the arts an issue?
Well, I think you look to Michael Bloomberg's persona before becoming mayor, and he, if you will, would be the 21st century's Carnegie, given, you know, $140 million each year through his philanthropies. Many artistic organizations have benefited from his largesse, so the sense is that he understands it. Add to that that the Gates Project that for years was on the back burner, they ran into hostility in terms of its execution. Mayor Bloomberg comes into office, understands the dynamic between art, tourism, and economic development, and the thing becomes a major promotional event.
And a successful one.
Absolutely, by every measure.
Dead of winter, and people are trekking through Central Park to see Christo's The Gates.
Orange on white. It made everybody's winter.
So the city of New York is an important source of cultural funding, aside from the mayor's own
deep
pockets.
$130 million, right.
Is that pretty much exclusively through the DCA, the Department of Cultural Affairs?
That has been, of course, it went through tremendous cutbacks through the city's difficult times. And the mayor has been keeping that steady, and the institutions have been managing to find new ways to make money. However, you know, we have to look at art in terms of things like education and remember that there's still some 10% of city schools without an art instructor present, and I include a music instructor. There's also the pressure that happens when you have population boom in school. The first thing that goes is your music or art department room. And once you put art on a cart, pretty soon it's out the door.
Right. So both candidates seem to have said similar things about the importance of the DCA budget on the one hand, capital funding for arts projects, and on the other hand, saying all the right things about arts and music in the schools. How much of that can they actually act on?
Well, actually, it's funny because I looked at the Alliance for the Arts analysis in response to a questionnaire each candidate filled out. And the story here is a missed opportunity by Ferrer again because it asks very clearly, arts and the economy, positing the notion that what's the relationship? And Mayor Bloomberg's response clearly gets the connection that what do artists, aspiring artists, those who have not made it yet, they need time and space. So it's a question of affordability, which tracks right back to Ferrer. Ferrer doesn't even touch that, doesn't even get a piece of that ball in his answer of the questionnaire. So there's a fundamental lack of understanding of that relationship. Now, one can say Bloomberg understands the problem, but under his period of time here in office, indeed what we've seen is New York City's the idea of it being an incubator for the arts. It's been going across the Hudson. It's been going to where there's cheap industrial space.
So downtown
Jersey,
Brooklyn.
Or Jersey, or even out, even into the outer boroughs, but even out of state.
Right. Okay, so actually across the Hudson as opposed to just across the East River. We're speaking with Bob Henley, WNYC City Hall reporter, about how the two mayoral candidates stack up in terms of arts funding, arts programming, the whole cultural scene here in New York, such an important part of what makes New York the tourist destination it is. And so we ignore this at our economic peril.
Right.
Bloomberg has sort of aided and abetted whatever city money there is, as you mentioned, with, what was it, $140 million.
And something that goes to, that's everything total, both nonprofit health care, but it's tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
Out of his own pocket.
So he can do that because he is independently wealthy. Fernando Ferrer obviously doesn't have that kind of cash at his disposal.
Right.
But as borough president in the Bronx, he did have the opportunity to work with the Bronx Council on the Arts and things like that.
Well,
does he have a track record?
I think he has a track record for getting groups to work together And indeed, I do remember that he was using the arts and music as a way of getting the Bronx to be reconsidered. And that's what it's about. It's about taking a region and saying, take a second look, get beyond Howard Cosell's famous utterance, you know, the Bronx is burning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we have the question of stature gap in terms of Fernando Ferrer. You have, you know, like I say again, the kind of 21st century Carnegie who, out of his own pocket, Michael Bloomberg can fund arts organizations. And also, you know, he articulates the issue of some problems of affordability. But people will argue that, unfortunately, because of the pressure of the real estate market, that kind of cheap space. And what does that really mean? Cheap space means you don't have to work your day job so you can create what you love.
Mm-hmm. Now, this, all of this, you know, we're talking about a guy in Mayor Bloomberg who, according to the New York Times, falls asleep when he goes out to the opera with his friend Beverly Sills. I understand that the guy is working a hard job. He falls asleep. But, I mean, does he have...
But he did go to Mark Morris dance. I mean, I understand he is open to being, you know, educated and inspired.
Okay. So do we know whether both candidates do have a kind of personal interest and connection?
I think they both have a personal... Anyone who's in political life today has to be conversant and familiar with the arts and comfortable in those circles. Again, like I said, I think the problem, though, is Ferrer, the missed opportunity to advocate for people that were his natural allies.
Mm.
These are people, I mean, say a nice black and white ad that showed an artist that moved somewhere else.
Right.
Because what we know is that artists are the first wave of economic recovery. They're the people that go in there before the speculators.
They're the pioneers, right. Now, speaking of ads, somebody in Ferrer's campaign is tuned in, and, you know, I'm intending that pun, because they ran this negative ad tying Bloomberg to President Bush, you know, all Republicans are bad,
right.
And they aimed the spot at an African-American audience and used country music. So there was clearly some kind of sensibility of what the sound behind these ads
right.
was going to be.
Right.
Let's listen to what the two candidates are actually using to promote themselves. They're both targeting the huge Hispanic population.
Right.
Bloomberg with Willie Colon, one of the founders of salsa music here in New York and a politician himself.
That's right.
All right, Willie Colon, you know, hugely influential in the Latino community on Bloomberg's side.
And also in his kitchen cabinet. It's more important to understand this is not some kind of just, you know, star power that
mm-hmm.
happens. On a daily basis, he's part of what's going on in that administration. So he's at the table. He, at one point, had entertained his own political ambitions, and clearly
right.
he's thrown his lot in with the mayor.
All right. Now, a recent Spanish-language ad from the Ferrer campaign features another great Latin musician, the Grammy Award-winning band leader Eddie Palmieri. All right, so Willie Colon on one side, Eddie Palmieri on the other. Bob Henley, what do you make of all this?
Well, I think that you look at the Bloomberg's ads, and they are produced with a kind of feature film quality in that they offer, particularly with the Latino music in the background, a kind of narrative historical line about what's happening with New York.
Mm.
Having the pace and tempo of this music behind the mayor, with the images of the police, of the schools that are improving, of the crime going down, gives one the sense of this frenetic forward motion.
Mm-hmm. And in Ferrer's case, I mean, it's the same.
Well, it was probably aired twice, John. It was probably aired twice at between
right.
2 and 4 a.m. after the Red Cross ad.
All right. Bob Henley is WNYC's City Hall reporter, and we've been talking about how the two candidates appear to the arts community and in terms of arts funding, what we might expect from each of them. Bob, thanks very much for joining us
thanks,
this afternoon.
John.
You're listening to Soundcheck.